Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And good evening, and welcome to hour number 3 of Sports Talk. He is the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Deke Bellavia. Coming up this hour, Paul Verisco will be with us. He's the executive director at Team Gleason to talk about a very special premiere tonight that's taking place among some Saints people. I guess you say players and coaches, dignitaries, and also it's a very important event. Cajun Cannon, you'll be dipping out of here before long to attend this. It's been long awaited. We talked about this at the Tim Lito Foundation softball game a couple of weeks back, but tonight a very important the documentary about Gleason is being released.
Yeah, the premiere, and I think it actually goes to the theaters in July 25th or some late July, but yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a tearjerker. A lot of emotions involved. I've been in touch with Scott Fujita. You know, Scott Fujita has been an unbelievable asset to the Saints organization and just a great friend to Steve Gleason. His contributions both on and off the field and, you know, staying involved and helping out with the Gleason Foundation. So, yeah, Deke, I think you could hold the fort down for the last hour. So I'll be here up until right before 7 and heading out here. So, but yeah, it's going to be very
and
touching.
Where is it, uptown somewhere you're going?
It's at the Roosevelt.
Okay, Roosevelt, so downtown.
Was the Orpheum?
Is that, yeah. Yeah, right across the street, the Orpheum Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so, nice. Yeah, it's got, I don't know, I guess a kind of a red carpet premiere type of thing.
So I see you on the red carpet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm on the red carpet. I don't know, I'm not that distinguished, but.
Well, if they got red carpet in front of you, you got to walk across it.
But, Deke, I feel kind of special because I think I got invited not as part of the media, kind of like as a player.
Okay, I got you. So your roots, to your player roots.
Yeah, kind of, you know, with
I got you.
You know, with Scott. And, you know, I had a cousin who did stuff with Steve Gleason who passed away with ALS. Jay Rink, who played at Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of ties there. Did some fundraisers with him. So, yeah, Deke, I tell you what, I heard it's awesome. So,
it'd be interesting for you to give a report tonight. You're going to call in with T-Bob and Christian.
Yeah, T-Bob and Christian, I'll be on sometime after 10.
Yeah, and get them an update.
Yeah, and do a late night mini camp report.
Yeah.
And then also about the premiere of the Gleason film.
Well, Cajun Cannon, there will be a Game 6 in the NBA Finals because last night the Cleveland Cavaliers took care of business at Golden State. Of course, many saying that had Draymond Green played that the Finals would be over. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, maybe not. But
yeah, perhaps.
But I know one thing, and I put this on WWL Facebook last night. The NBA Finals are where stars become superstars, and Kyrie Irving is becoming a superstar in this league. And last night, I mean, he was just like that NBA Jams game. He's on fire. He can't miss. He was just unbelievable. And 41 points from him, 41 points from LeBron James.
The first time that's ever happened.
First time that's ever happened. But Kyrie Irving, Bobby, he has. I mean, the last 2 years he's been in the finals, but this year he looks way better. Of course, he was hurting after that first game last year. He's a difference maker.
Well, it looks like he's being more mature and responsible and you realize he has to hit. He has to play like that. He has to be aggressive, and he has to hit those shots. They're going to overtake Golden State now. Klay Thompson, to me, was unbelievable. Steph Curry was at a high level at times, but the Warriors, and you haven't seen this too often. Boy, they must have had a lid on the basket in the fourth quarter.
I think what it was. Yeah. Three balls or something down that stretch?
Because the way the first half unfolded, I said, Golden State's still going to win. It was tight at half.
Yeah, it was tight. In the third quarter, it was 62-62. Yeah.
And then, but how are you closing out? Deke, I don't know, but what do you think? Can Cleveland win three in a row? I mean, that's what it's going to take.
Can they? But I think Cleveland has a chance. But I'm not confident Cleveland's gonna win Game 6.
Well, the thing is, because I think not even what he could do offensively. Well, you know, speaking of not shooting well, what's his name, Barnes?
Right.
The lid was definitely on the basket for him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of you pick and choose who you're going to leave open and who can hit their shots, but it's not so much even Draymond Green, what he could do offensively. I think how they throw different defenders against LeBron.
Right.
And just Draymond Green, when he gets a chance to defend LeBron, that makes a big difference.
He's a guy that, to me, he's stepped up from being – he's on his way from star to superstar status too, Draymond Green, from what he's done in the
right.
Not just this series, but in the series prior. And
well, Dick, you know what's crazy about that team? I look at the Warriors. Okay, I look at Steph Curry from Davidson. You look at Klay Thompson from Washington State. Look at Draymond Green from Michigan State. Doesn't it seem like they're way better in the pros than they were in college? I mean –
Definitely Thompson and Draymond Green, but the runs that Curry had in the tournament with Davidson,
he was starting to get everyone's
attention. He's gotten better. There's no doubt about it. But he was on fire in college too, though.
But it was almost like when you're saying, well, Davidson's in North Carolina. Why isn't he at one of those Tobacco Road schools?
Right.
Why isn't he at Duke?
Well,
it just goes to
show
State
you. Maybe he was
cars.
A late bloomer.
Yeah.
Might have been a late bloomer. They don't miss too often up there.
Yeah, because you look, come on, as Wake Forest, Duke, mm-hmm. North Carolina, North
all
Carolina
those,
State. Yeah,
all those schools up there. Yeah. And then Clemson, all the ACC schools, Virginia, somebody would have offered him.
Right. So.
But, no, I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see what takes place tomorrow night.
Well, because you look at Kyrie Irving and LeBron, Kyrie Irving was a stud in college.
You know, I don't ever recall, especially in the NBA, one player that is disdained so much. And he hasn't done – it's like he hadn't been arrested. He hadn't done any crime against a child. He hadn't done any crime against a woman.
Very mature
against
coming out of
an
high
animal.
School.
He's a great father. Great. Is the hate for LeBron James all because of the decision? Is that it?
No, you know what else I think?
Is that it?
You know what else I think? A lot of fans, normal fans, can't relate to LeBron because LeBron's a beast. LeBron looks the part. LeBron's
no,
a,
I know,
a
but
man.
He don't come across like that,
no,
though.
No, not at all.
He's somebody. Can you imagine? Okay, just imagine yourself out there listening right now. How concerned would you be if the young child in your home, girl or boy, was 15 right now, and everybody in the world was telling them how great they're going to be. And then when they get to be 17, everybody in the world is throwing millions of dollars at them. I'm talking about Nike, Under Armour, everybody's throwing. You know how hard it is to try and maintain some sense of humbleness? And he's been on the incline ever since. He's only gotten more humble as his career has gone on. He has matured. But I don't ever think I've seen somebody more hated than him. And look, just from reading on the person alone, when you're talking about people, dealing with people, LeBron James is a way better dude than Michael Jordan. If you read about what Jordan has done and how he deals with business and talks to people, and you talk about
personal.
That, yes, that loves Jordan. Jordan is a you-know-what, and LeBron James is a prince. But it's the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite the way they're looked at.
It has to be part of the decision. And, I mean, Dick, I know LeBron coming out of high school, his maturity level was unbelievable compared to like you and
me.
Man. I started saying when I was that
age, $18 million. They gave me $18. I'd have been a fool.
And even when as a 10th grader and potentially where he was going
to
be,
I went to Popeyes on my senior trip. But, that ain't lying.
But when I look at LeBron, and the only thing I could say, I think the more fans, obviously, the casual fans, just the public in general. How can you not like the cutesy Steph Curry? He looks more like them
as
I know. A fan, like on the street.
And I don't,
LeBron,
and if I was, and if I started
like a man child,
if I took
LeBron's
out my frustration on Curry, it would be the complete same as the reason why I'm defending LeBron. Meaning that why does Curry get a pass? For some reason,
he's
so
cute.
Yeah, but for some reason, it don't matter if he's hurt. But LeBron, here's the thing with LeBron: either people are on his ass 24/7, or they take a day off. It's never not on him. They don't get to do the break. And I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. I Google it, and I look, and is there something he did that we don't know about? Some type of crime? Did he beat up a dog? Did he rob? He hadn't done nothing.
No.
And people just hate him.
Because he started until, and I don't know if he gave himself this nickname or somebody gave it to him, until you truly win, I guess, championships, he was noted as King James, right?
Right.
It was like, oh, he's a prince. He's not no king yet. You know, kind of like.
Right.
Almost, but you know, when you marketing yourself and what comes about with that. But to me, you never heard nothing about LeBron getting arrested.
No.
Or what's, you know, who he's hanging with and what comes. Now, I don't know the ins and outs, but I'm just saying what's out there, LeBron has been outstanding.
Outstanding. And so, and the way he handled the whole deal in Cleveland the last time, when all the stuff started surfacing about his mama, he never blew up on anything like that. He maintained a high level. He was mature. I mean, somebody started talking about your mama.
You talk about like the Delonte West?
Yes, and all that. He never batted an eye or anything like that, and he was heckled by fans. And I think at one time he just told the fan that that's being disrespectful. Never did anything. He didn't go Ron Artest on anybody. Didn't go Dennis Rodman on anybody. I'm thinking like, you know, somehow we got our priorities wrong. This is the guy we should be glorifying.
Yeah, I think Steph Curry, his family, the face in NBA, LeBron James, that's like a win-win.
Yeah, and he came back, and it's like, okay, so if you don't like the decision, I'm all right with that. He righted that ship, though. He came back. He came back home, and that's where he wanted to be. That's where he came. And to me, if he would have won this series here, and if he left Cleveland, if I'm Cleveland, they better not be mad at him.
Well, he brought a championship.
Yeah, that's what he promised. He promised to bring a championship. I want to see him go to one of those big markets, either L.A. or New York, and see how much money he can really make.
Well, do you think maybe, now I'm kind of leaning towards this way, if he doesn't make the announcement and everything now so exploited – and kind of showboating. That's the only time, because when you saw that whole atmosphere.
Right.
Okay, stay tuned to my decision. I think in hindsight, he would have never done that.
No, he would have never done it.
You know,
and
but
I think.
So do you think if he doesn't
no,
do that,
and they, they explained that whole deal. It had something to do with the head of ABC, ESPN,
yes.
And Jim Gray. And Jim Gray even explained that whole situation. They were meeting somewhere. It was either at one of the big Mayweather fights. It was Mayweather, De La Hoya, or something Mayweather. Jim Gray was covering it, and he had to be heating up with the guy who's over ABC and ESPN, and that's what they came up with. And I forgot what it was, like between $3 and $5 million they made for charity. They made for charity. So I guess he's taking on, I'll be hated if I can make $5 million for charity.
But they now bet in
hindsight,
he wouldn't have did.
No,
just
I know.
Write that check
only
for
good,
$5 million.
Good came out of that whole decision thing for everybody but him.
It was awesome for Chris Bosh.
Oh, it's awesome for Bosh, the Heat organization, Pat Riley, the charity, everything. But poor LeBron, no. That's why, I mean, it's just hard to believe. I mean, you look at him and you're going, had to do something wrong for people to hate him this bad.
Deke, okay. Now they got 2 games left. I hope, because I hope it goes.
Oh, I hope they do too. But I think Golden State's gonna win Game 6.
So wait, after 5 games, look at every game. Who's the MVP after 5 games? All the games, LeBron. It ain't close. I'm telling you.
No, it'd be LeBron. But on the other side, Draymond Green's close.
But Draymond Green didn't play last.
No,
night.
I know he didn't
if you
play last
all
night.
All the games,
but that elevates his MVP status, because he was that much more valuable. He didn't play.
I'll tell you, look like. It's like, what do people expect from LeBron? He's on the verge, always a triple-double.
Right. Oh, that's like I said, you know, when Steph Curry doesn't do something, it's like, oh, well, like Stephen A. Smith, Vincent, Steph Curry, I got to think something's wrong, and I've been told it might be some
surgery.
What did he say about LeBron? Oh, he choked. Well, why did Steph Curry choke then? They gave him a pass. Hate.
Steph Curry looks like it'd be like your next-door neighbor or – he's so cute,
right?
And his little girl, and all, you know, look just like him.
Oh well, looks can be deceiving, but I tell you what, those State Farm commercials are awesome. The one they do with the whole, where they got the Kevin Garnett, DeAndre Jordan, and Chris Paul.
Oh yeah.
And Garnett says, "I need some clippers. Anybody seen some clippers to cut his hair?" And Chris Paul says, "They got 2 of them in here." And they got one of them as a baby, and Kevin Garnett's kind of an old man. He's sitting on the couch. He said, "Yeah, I'm the only one here got a ring." He's, somebody needs to change his baby. But no, it's good stuff. And Chris Paul and Steph Curry, State Farm hit a home run.
So that's
what
they were on, the dropping dimes. Remember the dropping
dimes? Yeah. They got like
the
6
one with,
NBA.
With Portland, Damian, Lillard.
Yeah, they got a bunch of them in there. But the NBA does a good job in marketing.
Kevin Love needs to start dropping some dimes.
Yeah, he does. If they're going to win next game, he's got to show up.
He didn't show up again.
This is Sports Talk on WWL. Paul Varisco with Team Gleason joins us now. A very important and special event taking place tonight, the debut of a documentary. Paul, thank you very much for the time. This has been a long time coming and a lot of build-up to tonight.
It sure has, and thank you for having us. We're very excited, Steve.
Now, Paul, talk about all the dignitaries coming tonight. I know I feel fortunate to be able to attend. And it seems like, boy, the Saints organization, the way Sean Payton was talking to post-practice, that everyone's going to be out there and wanting to be a part of this.
Yeah, the Saints will be in full force. We have the staff, the coaches, the players, and we're very excited about that. They'll have their own section, as a matter of fact. So we're looking forward to them seeing it. We also have a number of ex-Saints. I'm standing right next to Scott Vegeta, and I think Ricky's coming, and I think Deuce hopefully will show up, and we don't know the others, but we hope the mayor will be here, and we have a great evening. We're very excited.
Now, Paul, for the public, when will they be able to view it? Is it like July 25th, or when exactly does it come out?
So here's what's happening. So this is the premiere. We have in early July, we'll have premieres in New York, L.A., San Francisco, and Seattle, and then on July 29th, okay, we'll have a theatrical opening. And as of right now, it'll open in Canal Place and Elmwood, and a number of screens, and, of course, there'll be a lot of promotion surrounding that.
Now, Paul, have you been able to view the film yet? Because I heard it's, boy, there won't be a dry eye in the place.
You're absolutely right. Now, I kid every time I see it. I want to make a deal with Kleenex so that they'll supply the Kleenex when people go in. But I tell you, it's not sad, though. It's emotional. It's a film that transcends football, transcends ALS. It's all about the human spirit. And you'll walk out feeling good. You know, there's some sad parts. I mean, it's a tough life. You guys have seen Steve. You know what he goes
right
through. And this is as raw and real as you can possibly get. In fact, when we first showed it, that comment came out from a number of people who were interested in buying it, that it was so raw and real. They've never seen anybody expose themselves. I'm also standing next to Clay Tweel, who's the director, and he's in tonight from Los Angeles to help us promote this thing. But it's just this great. It's a great film, and I'm so excited because I know people will walk away feeling good about it.
Paul Verisco of Team Gleason, very special event tonight, releasing the documentary on Steve Gleason, and, of course, it'll be hitting theaters in certain parts of the country coming up in the month of July. Paul, thank you very much, and enjoy this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it, guys. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
And the Cajun Cannon will be repping us tonight, checking that out as well. Here's a text. Oh, we'll get to some texts in just a moment. WWL News Time is 6:32. Time for First News, and we'll go to Chris Miller. Oh, and welcome back to Sports Talk. You know, sometimes we get different emails, Bobby, during the day we're not here, and there'll be something, you know, something nice to have in the kitchen. Thanks so much to Helen Santani. She put aside to us a little barbecue for this evening. Demi Bob Frost, once he got the email, he knocked over three people getting to that kitchen for some barbecue. I got to go check on him, make sure he don't need no lotion on his kneecaps.
Was it Bob and Weldon?
No, I don't know about the other one. I know Bob was out there, though. Bob hooked it up, though. He got up to that. He had a little giddy up in his step.
Yeah.
I want some of that barbecue.
Well, if you look at the crew on the 8th floor here in the radio department, if they got free food, it didn't last too long.
Mm-mm. Some of these bellies is homegrown.
It goes right quick.
Yeah. And watch it. There wasn't no barbecue in there. They started putting salt and pepper on the furniture and stuff. 2601870 Texas at 870-870. As a young man, LeBron lacked humility but has matured. Meanwhile, Michael Jordan is a jerk whose gambling debts got his father in trouble. It was a warning to pay up.
Well, got his father killed.
Yeah, that's
the rumor.
Yeah, that's what that says. Here's another one. Was there such animosity and hate toward LeBron before his Miami decision? No, that's right. I don't think as much. Absolutely. That's a good point. I think that it turned a lot of people off, even though he said he regretted how he did it. That's a good text. Yeah, because to say I don't know, no, there wasn't. There was obviously more after the decision part. There's no doubt about it. Now, here's one that Bobby and I disagree with. What does it say about LeBron, Bobby, as a youngster, it was something to the point to where he wasn't.
About him being, he wasn't humble.
Yeah, that's I don't remember him being, you know, you know, coming off as being like I'm big, bad, and arrogant or anything like that. He wasn't like Sebastian Telfair or Harold Miner, you know, the baby Jordan. Look, let me say this to you. As a diehard Knicks fan, nobody cried more than Michael Jordan. Okay, Michael Jordan cried, but Michael Jordan was great. He did a lot of crying. Why do you think Michael Jordan was able to get the calls he got? You mean to tell me in Game 6 against the Utah Jazz in the flu-like game, he didn't push off of Byron Russell? No, he didn't push off him. He knocked him out the way. But why did he not get the call? Or why wasn't there a call? Because he was Michael Jordan. That happens. The man I'm sitting across from got knocked in the mouth one play. What did he tell the official? Hey, man, you didn't see that? Bobby told that official, if I was Joe Montana, you'd have made that call. And you know what the official told him? You're right.
He tells him, you're probably right.
Right. So like, and why? Because he was Joe Montana. Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's the way it is. It's fair. But to say that, look, a lot of players flop. A lot of them cry. But Jordan wasn't no angel now, okay? Jordan wasn't no angel. He was a tactician. He knew what he was doing. He was the greatest. And he knew how to work the officials. But he used to mugly grub.
Well, LeBron does show emotion, and he is vocal. I think this makes sense, too, because of his physical presence. This one guy says, my wife told me that she doesn't like LeBron because of how physically strong he is. Yes, he acts like a baby. She said she can't watch a man act like that. Now, why don't we act like a baby? Because he does show some emotion.
Right.
And you know, I mean, he's not a robot. Mm-mm. You know, he's not one of those. You look at Klay Thompson. Like, Klay Thompson, you think, like, man, he's always chilling. You know, kind of. Mm-hmm. You see him get fired up. But LeBron shows, I think, a lot of passion.
LeBron is one of those parents out there. If you got a child that's in whatever class they're in, they're the biggest one in the class or bigger than the average kid, say, for that age. What is the biggest fear you have? Is that everybody looks at that kid and they're automatically, they're supposed to be the biggest. They're the biggest, so they're supposed to be the most physical and the strongest. And a lot of times, it's a stereotype on them when you're going like, wait a minute, they're just a kid. Well, let me tell you, when it comes to the NBA and it comes to certain sports, some players have got that same stigma on it, like Shaq. How bad did Shaq get beat up? Because a lot of the officials thought, oh, well, he could take it. Because he's so big and physical, bumping up on him, I got to see it more. No, a foul is a foul.
Right.
It don't matter what size you are. Just like over the back. Over the back is over the back. You could be 9 feet tall. If you are over the back of a six-foot player, you are over the back. It doesn't matter how big you are. LeBron, Magic Johnson, these big physical guys. Wilt Chamberlain is one. George Mikan is one. Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing. The bigger the player, a lot of them get that stigma on that, oh, well, they're big and physical, they could take it. But nobody got beat up more than Shaq did.
No, Deacon, and I think that is true. It's just human nature. A lot of, people, they could just be jealous of LeBron. I mean, considering the success since straight out of high school, Akron, Ohio, where he comes from and what he's achieved, and you have to look at the mature level also. We got another text that says LeBron hangs out with Warren Buffett, not thugs.
That's right.
Come on, talk about a businessman and who he associates himself with. And,
right.
The big money people. I mean, who hasn't heard of Warren Buffett?
Right.
And all of a sudden, hey, could you help me with my investments?
LeBron is his own brand.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, he is his own brand. Here's a text. John was never scared to take the clutch shot. No, you're right. Kobe was like that. Larry Bird was like that. Robert Horry. There are a lot of them, you know, that are like that. That'll take that clutch shot. LeBron is not the clutch shot player. He's not.
No.
Magic would have taken the clutch shot sometime, but he wasn't the clutch shot, quote unquote, guy all the time for the Lakers. Byron made some. Michael Cooper made some. James Worthy made some. Kareem made some.
See, I think right now, LeBron's put in that position, Deacon, and it comes down to the wire. He'd want Kyrie Irving to make that clutch shot.
Yes. And look, whether or not he thinks that's his strength or not, at least he realizes I'm not going to take the shot just because, you know, I'm the best one on the floor. That might not be his game. I don't think that is his game.
Well, and you know what I think, and he has obviously gotten better. I think LeBron's also, let's say, down the stretch or like under a minute or right around a minute and it's going back and forth. Let's say, you know, well, LeBron, tag the basket. Nobody can't stop you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's gotten better at this, like I said. But when he gets fouled, the pressure at the free throw line.
Oh yeah, if it came down to a game, who do you want to have the ball? To me, without question, is Michael Jordan. If it came down to taking the last clutch shot, though, who's gonna take that shot? To me, it's two people I'm looking at: Bird and Kobe. I'm talking about just from shooting. Yeah, I'm getting to him, but he ain't been around long enough yet.
Yeah, I got you.
If you just give me the ball in somebody's hand, without question, it's Jordan. He's going to find a way to get it done. Whether it's driving to the rack and passing off to nobody's paying attention to Bill Winnington or whatever, he's going to get it done. But if it's just taking that shot, who's going to shoot? I'm going to say Bird or Kobe.
Kobe.
Because they can shoot. Yeah. Let's go to Tom in New Orleans. Tom, thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, how y'all doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I just moved to New Orleans about a year ago, and I'm from the Tampa Bay area, and I just read on NOLA.com that the Saints fan had fans show up at like 3, 4 in the morning. And is that normal?
Cause show up in Tampa, like we don't want to practice?
Yeah, the fans showing up.
No, like, that's what they do. They show up after a big road win, and even some people show up after a road loss at the airport. Well, what they do, they show up and show that they have the players back. That started when we finally had a winning season back in 1987. And when we landed, it was probably, I want to say, the first time. We had just beat Pittsburgh, the Steelers, to get to 9 wins. And that's when Coach Morris said, no one can ever say the Saints never had a winning season. So we had won 9 games in a row that year, but we got to 9 wins by beating the Steelers. And there were thousands of people at General Aviation in Kenner at the New Orleans Airport to greet the players when we got back.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, everybody say they have the best fans, but in Tampa, like the Tampa Bay Bucks fans, they don't show up like to mini camp like that. So I just thought it was interesting to know.
Yeah, they'll come. They got a lot stronger fan base that shows up for practice more than the Saints. I can tell you that, Deke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go to Patriots practice or even right. Redskins, Bears. Now, the Bears had just won the Super Bowl in Platteville, Wisconsin.
So that had been Deke, the summer of 86.
Yeah, we were practicing against the Bears, Deke. It was unbelievable. They had like 15,000-plus
Like
at practice.
That many people?
For practice.
That's a lot.
And poor Russ, we were so intimidated.
Up there in West Virginia, where it's big, they don't have 3,000.
Deke, we were so intimidated. Can you imagine, Mara, we're going against the Bears who just won the Super Bowl.
Mm.
We had to cut some drills short because we were like the junior college
I was getting beat
team
down.
Playing the varsity. Oh, it was very humiliating.
Mm, mm, mm.
I mean, but in the fans, they were like rock stars. Jim McMahon, McMichael.
Oh, yeah. Dan Hampton, Refrigerator
Perry.
From
the locker room, they get to the field. They had to have police escort.
Oh, man.
Where we would pass, they would just taunt us.
Talk about a team that should have won 3 or 4 championships.
Well, that's Mike Ditka's fault.
Yeah, Mike Ditka's fault. Arrogance is a bad thing, boy. Arrogance is a bad thing. He just goes to show how hard-headed he was. Even with Vince Tobin, 2 years after the 85 Bears defense, statistically, that defense 2 years later, I think points per game, they gave up less than the 85 Bears did. But what happened? Mike Tomczak's been a lifelong backup. What does he do at the last minute? Puts Doug Flutie in. You got the depth chart. Your first team quarterback, second team quarterback, and third string.
Well,
automatically you say, well, I'm going with the second guy. What Dick could do, I'm going to go with the third string quarterback.
Well, Dick, you know how we objectively, and this is not a homer opinion, we thought on the Sean Payton and Drew Brees so far, like 2 Super Bowls. The 2011 season.
Right.
Well, that Bears team, like, you almost shame on the Saints we didn't have that opportunity because the 49ers game to win 2 Super Bowls. Well, shame on the Bears. They didn't go to 3 Super Bowls with that team.
Right. Here's a text. Pat Riley once said, with the game on the line, I want Michael Jordan to take the shot. With my life on the line, I want Larry Bird shooting. I see some validity in that because Pat Riley got burned by both of them. He got burned by Jordan with the Knicks, and he got burned with the Celtics when he was with the Lakers. I'm Deke Bellavia. This is WWL. And welcome back to Sports Talk. He is the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Deke Bellavia. Don't forget, full team coverage, Saints Minicamp, online at WWL.com. The Cajun Cannons take on practice. Christian Garrick breaks things down. A familiar face returns to Saints camp. And Robert Meacham. All that is online at WWL.com. 260-1870. You can text at 870-870. You know, Dad deserves the best. Let's give it to him. Just in time for Father's Day. Each day you have six chances to win. This week, a Father's Day gift pack. From 5 in the morning to tonight during Sports Talk. Before I check out of here, I'm going to give away a $100 gift card to Classic Auto Wash. When you hear the Father's Day sounder, be the eighth caller at 504-260-WINS. 504-260-WINS. And you will pick up on that Father's Day prize gift card. And don't forget, tomorrow it's day two of Saints minicamp, all free and open to the public. Practice is from 11 a.m. to 1:30. The gates open 45 minutes prior to practice, so about 10:15 in the morning, you'll be allowed to enter. Video is prohibited. However, they do have refreshments for sale, and they have parking available in the Zephyr Field lot, so you can park over there and then walk right down in the they got the track right there, so don't think like you're walking in the street. It's plenty all there. It's a lot of security. It's fan-friendly. It's family-friendly. Now, today was a little different because after practice, they couldn't sign the autographs like they normally would because it was storming out there. It was lightning. But after each practice, what they'll do is after they meet on the field and if they go in their position groups, you'll hear a horn. And that's a horn where the players will go to the side where the fans are, and they'll sign autographs. Usually they'll stay out there for about 10 minutes, and it's not just one player. It's the majority of players. They'll go over there, and then until you hear that horn, they'll keep signing and so forth. And once that horn, that's the horn for them to get inside. And it's not that they don't want to keep signing. It's they have to go to meetings. So they have a certain amount of time from the time practice ends to sign, get cleaned up, lift their weights, and then go to the meetings. In those team meetings, they watch film. And if you ever notice, if you're at practice, I'll tell you this when I come back. Pay attention to the cameras, the cherry pickers that are up in the sky. They're filming. I'm going to let you know how they work that and what they're doing and how tedious, and talking about it's a game of inches and time, how important it is that time is everything. Coaches are creatures of habit, and they want stuff ready. I mean, like 5 minutes before they thinking about they want it ready. And when it comes to that film, it's a big, big process. I learned more about this in college, but it's huge on a pro level, obviously, as well. I'll tell you how they cipher that information down and get it ready for the players as soon as they're in that classroom after those team during those team meetings. I'm Deke Bellavia, Sports Talk. Another hour to go on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.